Don't have enough time to sit down and read all the best Bitcoin articles? Well, let us read them for you. This is a Cryptoconomy Quick Read. What is up, Cryptoconomy crew? Welcome back to the podcast. I have another quick read today. I'm actually postponing one that I have been meaning to get to. As I have said before, I've been in the process of writing numerous articles alongside each other. And one of them I'm finally finishing up here. And it's not exactly... I've been working on it for most of the morning, trying to clean up the final draft, so to speak. And it's still not quite where I want it to be. So instead of going another 2 hours in trying to clean this thing up and then having a really late episode, there's actually an article that I've been wanting to get to here for a couple of days, and I think is actually pretty relevant to the article, my own article, that I'll be reading tomorrow. Just for a teaser, though, that article that we will read tomorrow is titled "The Panama Canal and Bitcoin's Lightning Network: Surpassing Limitations by Tightening Them." So if you are curious what that title means and what we will be digging into, do not miss tomorrow's episode where I will go into it in full. Today, however, this one is not strictly a crypto article, but one that I think is very, very important in regards to surviving in the crypto economy. This space moves so fast that you constantly, if you don't know how to learn, and more importantly, how to test the ideas you already hold against new information, if you're not open to doing that, you're not going to keep up and you're going to get destroyed in the crypto economy. So I think this one's very pertinent, and this is by, I hope I'm saying this right, this is Haseeb Qureshi, and was posted on the Free Code Camp Medium publication. If you've not heard of them before, you can check out freecodecamp.org. It's a great place to just kind of dig into coding on a bunch of different like platforms and languages, and it's free. So there's a lot of stuff that you can explore both on their blog and with their website. But again, this article specifically is by Haseeb Qureshi, and it is titled "The Hard Thing About Learning Hard Things." And without further ado, let's jump in. How do you learn something no one can teach you? Whatever success I've had in my career, I attribute almost entirely to my aptitude for unstructured learning. This is the kind of learning required when delving into a cutting-edge field, navigating a new job, or creating anything genuinely new. Notably, it's the polar opposite of what is taught in schools and what most people call, quote, education. In structured learning, like in school, there are exercises you can follow, teachers who will guide you, and a well-trodden path from A to Z. The hard part is just showing up to do the work every day. This should look familiar. Many people spend the first 2 decades of their lives performing small, quantized tasks of structured learning, competing with their peers over easily gradable benchmarks. Structured learning like this is basically useless outside of classrooms and trivia game shows. In the real world, there's no textbook or curriculum. There's no way to practice. There's no source of continuous feedback. There are no teachers. It's just you and whoever you can convince to help you. So how do you learn something no one can teach you? How do you become a world-class expert on something few people understand? Unstructured learning requires wandering. You must poke around on your own. Use trial and error, search, explore, stumble, and discover. The usual Gladwellian prescription of, quote, 10,000 hours and deliberate practice isn't actionable when trying to learn something no one knows how to do. But this is the only kind of learning that the world cares about. Naval Ravikant once said, quote, The world rewards you for creating things it doesn't know how to get for itself. End quote. If there's a structured approach to learning a domain, you can bet the world has no need for your ingenuity. It can breed experts on its own. But as long as it can't, the world will handsomely reward those who can conquer that domain. Most people suck at unstructured learning, but you can improve at it. Here are 5 principles that would help most people get better at unstructured learning. 1. Choose to look stupid. Stop trying not to look stupid. Stop trying not to look stupid. Most people hope for a progression like this. Begin chart. The vertical axis is how stupid you look. The horizontal axis is over time. And we start at the middle or slightly below, not looking too stupid, and then gradually declining as time goes on. End chart. They start off by trying not to look dumb, feigning understanding, and hope their fakery will tide them over while they gradually learn. Here's the problem. When you're faking, most of what you learn is just how to fake better. It's human instinct to hide your ignorance. You have to fight this instinct. Your curve should instead look like this. Begin chart. With the same chart, we now start looking 2 or 3 times as stupid as we did before, but we learn much quicker and therefore it declines at a more rapid pace before tapering off into the future. End chart. You have to look stupid up front. You have to choose it. But what about fake it till you make it? I'm the first person to admit, faking it is absolutely crucial for getting in the door. But once you're in, you need to cut the faking it and focus on making it. Be honest about the limits of your knowledge. Ask basic, obvious questions over and over again. Repeat things back and summarize them, even if incorrectly. Explain things you just learned to people again and again, even when you're wrong. Take notes as often as you can, even when it seems like you shouldn't. Pull smart people aside and pepper them with your questions after everyone else has left. This is what it looks like to fight for your own learning. All the best learners do this, and people respect them for it. If you're learning a new domain or are starting a new job and you don't worry that people might see you as stupid, you're not being aggressive enough with your learning. 2. Ask the third question. In Molière's play, The Imaginary Invalid, a patient asks a medical student, quote, "Why does opium put people to sleep?" End quote. The medical student replies, quote, "Because as doctors have learned, opium contains a dormative principle." End quote. Just about anyone outside of a play would ask the second question, quote, "What the hell is a dormative principle?" End quote. The student might reply, "Why, it's the essential quality of a substance that puts someone to sleep." End quote. Most people give up here. Unable to grasp an opaque response, they assume they don't know enough to evaluate the answer. But some people, those who are determined to learn, ask the third question. Quote, "I don't get it. It contains a dormative principle because it puts people to sleep. Isn't that a tautology?" End quote. Of course, the dormative principle is meant to be a joke, but you can imagine a situation that isn't so obvious. What if the subject were about some novel scientific study? Or why all your company's widgets are imported from China? Or why the team is hiding sales numbers from the boss? Would you ask the third question? Would you insist on understanding? There is a strong social pressure here to shut up. That if you don't understand it, maybe you don't deserve to. Most people stay silent. You have to fight this. You have to speak up and fight for your knowledge, even if it means looking stupid or trampling on a norm. It's hard, but over the course of your life, the learning will pay for all the little social costs you incur, And more often than not, you're not the only one who doesn't get it, and others will profit from your courage. This is how I first learned to play poker at the age of 16 and became a world-class poker player within a couple of years. Whenever I didn't get something, I'd argue, rebut, and plead for people to explain it to me so I could understand. I refused to not get it. Over many years of debating hand analysis and poker theory, this stubbornness led to me becoming a top poker player, and a pain in the ass to those who talk poker with me. Respect the people who slow down the class, who ask the third question, because asking the third question requires courage. It requires entitlement in the best sense of that word. Remember that learning is sacred and everyone deserves it. That includes you. 3. Immerse yourself. Many people want to learn French. A few will get fed up enough with themselves to do something about it. They might pay for an online course, hire a tutor, try Duolingo, buy a grammar book, switch their phone menus to Français, all the usual things you're supposed to do to learn French. But there's a shortcut, and it's the one thing most people will never think to do. Move to France. Of course, uprooting your life and moving to a new country is a ridiculous thing to do just to learn a language, but you have to admit, being immersed in France would teach you French much better than a textbook. It comes at a high cost, but immersion is the highest bang for the buck you can get when it comes to learning. You see, your brain was designed over millennia of evolution to soak up statistical patterns from its environment, whatever it needs to survive, communicate, and ascend a social hierarchy. But your brain needs stakes, and it needs to be immersed in enough raw information to extract patterns. Your job is to bring it to water. Your brain can handle the drinking. This is how I made my way into the blockchain world. I immersed myself in a world I didn't understand. I read academic papers, white papers, blog posts, much of which made no sense to me. I listened to nothing but blockchain podcasts, watched technical lectures and took notes, spun up nodes, prototyped a blockchain myself, and talked to as many blockchain experts as I could, who all knew much more than I did. I steeped myself into everything blockchain until my brain started making sense of it. And the amazing thing is that even still, almost nobody else I met who was learning blockchain was doing this. So I learned faster than they did. And you can too. 4. Double down on your strengths. Most people shy away from their strengths. They're convinced that they need to be an expert in something before they start blogging or organizing events or making YouTube videos or making friends with influential people. This couldn't be farther from the truth. Exploit your strengths and double down on them. People often self-select themselves out of usefulness, believing that their strengths aren't useful in a new domain. They're almost always wrong. Do it early and do it poorly. If you fail, you'll be surprised how little anyone cares or notices. If you succeed, you'll be surprised how easy it was, and how much worse other people are at it. I have a knack for writing, so whenever I want to learn a new domain, I start blogging about it. Here's the thing. At first, my writing is pretty bad. No one reads it and no one cares. But over time, writing forces me to engage more deeply with the domain, make connections, research more carefully, and ultimately learn more. I know so many people who are competent writers, but choose not to blog about things they don't know well. When I ask them why not, they'll tell me, quote, "I'll blog when I have something to say that hasn't already been said," end quote. I laugh. Everything I say has all been said before, but today, I'm the one saying it, so anyone who wants to hear it today gets to hear it from me. 5. Find excuses to teach. It's a little known secret that in any classroom, the person learning the most about the subject is the teacher. The absolute fastest way to learn any domain is to teach it. Teaching requires you to spontaneously recall things you've learned, to organize and fluidly present concepts, to come up with analogies and frameworks, and to answer arbitrary questions about a topic. But you're still an amateur yourself. How could you possibly get into a situation that you can teach? Simple. Find the person next most clueless junior to you and offer to teach them. If you can't do that, organize a free class, seminar, or webcast. If even one person shows up, teach that one person. Answer questions on an online forum like Stack Exchange or a public Slack channel. Write or record tutorials. There's always someone behind you who would benefit from your help. When I was learning computer science at App Academy, I organized small study groups where I taught advanced algorithms and data structures, the kind of stuff normally taught in an advanced university course. Of course, I wasn't qualified at the time. So how'd I teach them? Simple. I told people I would. Then, having already committed, I watched Stanford and Princeton lectures on the algorithms again and again until I understood them. Then I programmed them up, wrote tests, and planned out a lecture. The lectures were fine, though my amateurishness showed through. That's okay. They were still useful to the attendees, but even more so, they were invaluable to me. I would never have gotten to where I am today if I only taught things that I myself had mastered. Learning to learn. In the end, learning is both science and art. It is science when your domain is structured, and art when it is not. If you're trying to learn in a structured domain, much of the best research on this topic is summarized in the legendary MOOC Learning How to Learn by Barbara Oakley. There's some good condensed class notes available here. That is the science of learning, and it's well understood when trying to learn something well understood. But the art of learning is more subtle. It's in how you explore uncharted territory. It's how humankind learns anything for the very first time. The best learners, the people I most respect, they fight for their learning through small acts of bravery. They explore, take risks, look stupid, and insist on leaving no rocks unturned. Though I usually fall short, this is the kind of learner I aspire to be. All right, and that will close out The Hard Thing About Learning Hard Things by Haseeb Qureshi. And I will link to his Twitter as well as the Free Code Camp publication, but also his actual page is HaseebQ.com. And he's got a lot of other things that are specifically about cryptocurrency and Bitcoin and blockchain and that kind of thing. You can find his blog. He's got a number of different posts dating all the way back to 2011 on a varying set of topics. So a lot of stuff to dig into there on his page. But this one this is something that is... I mean, this is part of why I was doing this. A couple of the chords in this article kind of struck with me. And it was specifically because this is a lot of what I was trying to do with the podcast, is I was talking to people again and realizing how much that pretty much everybody else, that a ton of people did not know, particularly with new people coming into the space. But what I would notice is how... It seemed so funny to me how I constantly undervalued what I had already learned. Like, everything that I knew about Bitcoin and blockchain and the history or economics, it just immediately becomes something that I no longer understand the value of it because I already learned it. Therefore, why would somebody else need me to... It becomes like your default assumption is like, well, everybody knows this stuff. This is the obvious stuff, because you get to a point where you know it so well that it always jumps right back out at you. So it's like I wouldn't understand. Like, I was a photographer. I still do film and video work and photography work on a rare occasion. But I did photography pretty heavily outside of after I got out of college. And it was so funny to me because it's so easy for me to go out and grab a camera, set it up, know what lens to grab and that kind of thing to take pictures, that it was odd to me that like I would never pay for someone else to do that because I could just go get my own pictures. But then I would forget that some people don't even know how to hold a camera, and they have no idea what it means to have good lighting or position things in your frame to get a certain feel or express a certain message. And I would take all of this information and knowledge that I had completely for granted and just assume that because it was easy for me, because it had become easy for me, that it wasn't valuable to anybody else. And that's how Bitcoin had slowly become, is I completely undervalued what it is that I had learned. And then I would like talk to my friends and realize I knew how much more I knew about just basic stuff than they, just because they didn't spend their time doing it. And really, almost unknowingly, I did what was it, number three, immerse yourself? Three, immerse yourself, as I had just... everything became about consuming more Bitcoin and blockchain stuff. And actually, since starting the podcast, I have immersed myself even deeper into this than I had previously, just because now I feel this obligation to find good content and good explanations and analogies for these things, and you know, add my own commentary to expand on them where I think they kind of fall short, or where I think people might have questions or not have the economic background to understand this argument for money, so on and so forth. So, because of that, this has made me immerse myself even deeper. And it's a little bit concerning because I find myself having a really hard time holding a conversation that's not Bitcoin related now, which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But I have done exactly that. I've immersed myself, and I think I want to... this article's actually had me thinking about doing like a Q&A session and kind of sitting down with some people and like with some of you guys and just chatting and talking about stuff and having you ask me questions, because there are a lot of things that I know that I might not immediately realize other people would like to know or have questions about. And I don't want to get, even though this is kind of more technical and I think it will benefit a lot of people who are midway through figuring this thing out, and I kind of have a basis of assuming my audience knows a certain amount of stuff about Bitcoin and blockchain, I want to kind of get back to the roots, and I think I can offer a lot to people who are just getting here, and I want to make sure I'm also talking at those people. So... tell me what you think about that. Like, would you be interested in doing a Q&A session live online and chatting about some of these concepts and maybe submitting questions so that I can answer them? And we can go through a lot of these topics and just explore cryptocurrency and blockchain and Bitcoin and, you know, what we think the future is going to look like. Anything, really. Just dig into the topics. Anything you want to learn or ask about Lightning Network? That's one of my faves. That's what our article tomorrow will be about. So if you have kind of some input on that and you'd like to do that and think it would be fun, let me know on Twitter or Mastodon or, you know, anywhere. Just send me a message, tag me in a tweet, and let me know if you'd be interested in that and would like to do that at some point. I've even been thinking about, I have recorded one so far, and I'm not quite sure what I'm doing with it yet, but I'm thinking of doing a kind of a crypto for noobs or crypto for normies style episode on occasion, where we just hit the basic topics and maybe I chat with just random person who has some questions about Bitcoin but has very, very little basis, you know, just kind of getting into the crypto economy space, because I think it will help me with, I mean, like he says, you know, teach people, find excuses to teach, is I want to be able to easily and thoroughly explain it to somebody who has very little basis in this, and kind of be able to paint a mental picture that makes sense, because this is a really abstract and confusing technology when you first get into it. I mean, it seems like an impossibility, like digital tokens. How could a fake internet token have any value at all? So there's kind of a huge mental and literacy barrier to cross there. And I want to be good at helping people across that moat. Tell me what you think about that. If you're interested in that kind of episode type, maybe I can just have random listeners on the show. If you want to have ask questions and like just going over broad, basic topics, and just see if that's something that you would be interested in or think that you'd get value out of. And you know, maybe some live chats and stuff like that too. So, all right, we will close that there. I just thought this was a really good article, and Haseeb has a lot of other wonderful stuff. Like I said, I'll be linking to his main blog page as well as the freecodecamp.org site and publication. So don't forget to follow him on Twitter and check out his page and drop some applause on his Medium article. Also, don't forget to follow me at The Cryptoeconomy, and that's on Twitter, on Medium, and also on Mastodon. But the best way to find that is to just go to my Twitter page. There's a link right there that'll take you to the sign-up page where you'll automatically follow me on Mastodon. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Leave me a review if you could. That would be amazing. And share it with all of your friends in the cryptoeconomy space or who are finally just now getting into and looking into what Bitcoin is and what this whole thing's all about, and learn all the best stuff about the cryptoeconomy here at the Cryptoeconomy Podcast. And if you would like to support the show, I will always have my Bitcoin donation address available, and that is a huge help if you can contribute. And if you have contributed, thank you so much. But this show takes up an enormous amount of time, and I absolutely intend to keep doing it, and I want to have some sort of a monetization scheme that makes sense as we move forward. But right now we are running completely on donations, so if you can contribute, that's a wonderful, wonderful help, and thank you so much if you do. Outside of that, if you are looking to get a Trezor and would like to throw a couple of bucks my way at no cost to you, you can use my affiliate link, and when you buy your Trezor hardware wallet for your Bitcoin or cryptocurrency, it will send me a couple of bucks and help out the show, and it won't cost you a dime. So that's also another great way to help out. But aside from that, I hope you guys enjoyed this show, and I will catch you all tomorrow with my article on the Lightning Network on the next episode of the Cryptoeconomy Podcast. All right, guys, take it easy.